This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Today, Lake Effect and WUWM News begin our latest Project Milwaukee series. Over the next week, our Southern Connections interviews and reports will examine the possibilities and challenges of growing Milwaukee's economy southward. For years, we've heard that the merging of the Milwaukee and Chicago regions and economies is inevitable. Yet, even as development occurs in places like Franklin and Oak Creek, and even as Kenosha connects itself with Chicago, there is a long way to go before the two regions truly become one. As we often do, we start our Project Milwaukee coverage on Lake Effect with some historical perspective on the subject. Historian John Gerda joins us to talk about the far southeastern corner of Wisconsin. Nice to see you again.
Glad to be here, Mitch.
Let's go back to the earliest days and the settlement of places like Kenosha in particular. I gather Kenosha was founded by design, a company formed back east to relocate. How typical was that in terms of the way these new cities, Kenosha, Racine, others were formed?
It was atypical in terms of that kind of organization. It was very typical in terms of people from the settled east looking for new opportunity in the unsettled west.
There were a couple of places in the history of Racine I saw where it was referenced as Racine was settled by Yankees.
That was true for the entire lakeshore from the Illinois state line up past Milwaukee, because you have to remember when the first land sale was held here, this is 1835 in Milwaukee's case, there was not yet mass emigration from Europe. It was largely people who were coming here from the East Coast, especially New York and New England, so they called them Yankee Yorkers. So it was people like Knapp and Racine, Kilbourne, Walker in Milwaukee. And they were both pushed and pulled. In upstate New York, they had burned out the soil with intensive wheat farming. So they were looking for new opportunities in the West. And wherever you had a river reach the lake, that was a potential harbor. And that's why Kenosha, Racine, and Milwaukee, and Chicago for that matter, why all four of those settlements developed.
Racine, Kenosha, Milwaukee, and Chicago all had the same kind of access to rivers and the lake. So why Chicago and Milwaukee versus Kenosha and Racine? Why did some of those cities grow to be so large and some not so large?
Every one of them had dreams of urban grandeur. Everyone thought it would be the Queen City or the Bell City, as Racine called itself. And the reason that Milwaukee and Chicago emerged was, first of all, Milwaukee had the best natural harbor on the western shore of the lake. Kenosha's was relatively inadequate, and Racine's early problem was that there was essentially an old fossil reef, you know, outside the river's mouth that had to have a lot of remediation before they could get boats in and out. And Chicago did not have an especially good harbor, but it was at the terminus of the Illinois River Canal system. So you had the portage developing there, and that put Chicago on the map. And then when the days of lake transport came, that was the obvious place at the foot of the lake. Milwaukee, because it had this great natural harbor, both the broad bay and the deep river, Milwaukee became, in Wisconsin, the premier urban opportunity and was actually very close to Chicago in population for about 15 years. And at a time when everyone traveled by water, Chicago's farther away. It's at the dead end of the lake. And then what happened very clearly was the railroad. You know, the first railroad comes from the east back in 1852, and within a few years, Chicago's four times Milwaukee's size.
What kind of impact did, once we got past the railroad era, what kind of impact did the construction of the highways bring? What kind of economy did that lend to the area?
Once they had highways, it pretty much reflects the growth of the automobile and the truck as well. So you're talking 20th century. And that had more impact probably on water transport than it did on rail transport, which is still, as you know, very much an active part of the transportation network here. But it would tend to kind of string out the settlements, make it more easy to, what sometimes they say, disaggregate, leave town, you know, expand out into the fringe of all four of those settlements from Chicago up through Milwaukee. And in terms of economy, it meant that they could decentralize. So you have, for instance, in Racine's case, Johnson Wax begins right downtown. Now they're out in Waxdale, which is to the west of the settled area of Racine, the historic area of Racine.
Do you have any sense for why the interstate was built so far inland and not along the shoreline?
Oh, sure. That's more historic than you might think. There were highways along the lake. Highway 32 is the current incarnation in terms of the numbering system. But Interstate 94 is actually an old section line road that follows what in Milwaukee would be 27th Street. And in the pioneer days, back as certainly as early as the 1850s, that was called the Kilbourne Road. And that was a main traveled road to the south. So it goes back a whole lot farther than anyone was even dreaming about the internal combustion engine. And that became 27th Street in the city. It became Highway 41, and Interstate 94 is Highway 41. It is exactly the footprint once you get out to about Oak Creek. So obviously it was the airline, it was the beeline between Milwaukee and Point South, and it had, as the area developed, the added advantage of not going through congested territory. So it was the obvious place for a freeway when that freeway developed back in the 1950s and 60s.
Do you think it necessarily had an impact on the growth of those two, the Kenosha and Racine, for not being any more accessible to the freeway?
That's a good question. I don't think it had a huge impact, except in terms of encouraging that conurbation, though, that growing density of the corridor from Chicago to Milwaukee, and the move out from the heart of all four of those cities out to the edge. So in a lot of ways, what the railroad did in the 19th century, the freeway did in the 20th. It provided a means of moving from here to there, and wherever you had these transportation nodes, the big interchanges, you'd have development following.
Do you have a sense for when the heyday of Kenosha and Racine was?
Certainly in Kenosha's case, it would have been during the heyday of American Motors, which began as the Nash plant, you know, back in the earlier 1900s. And they probably would have had multiple spikes beginning in the 1920s and, like everyone else, kind of going quiet in the 30s, peaking in the 40s. And certainly the 50s through the 70s, you still had very, very strong industrial presence there. And then with the recession beginning in the early 1980s, then you have deindustrialization. And now you have, you know, Kenosha's lakefront, some wonderful museums there, and you've got a nice streetcar system. But it's hard for someone who recalls when that was the American Motors plant to realize how much change there has been there. In Racine's case, there's also been a lot of redevelopment downtown. There has been less clearance, relatively speaking. But right in what they call Gaslight Point, it's the area of the landfill that's just east of downtown. That was an old coal gas works, and that's been completely changed, you know, to housing. So there's been a great deal of redevelopment on those sites.
You mentioned the term conurbation, and there seems people certainly think of the growth of Milwaukee southward and the growth of Chicago northward.
Sure.
At what point did people start attaching Kenosha more to Chicago than either to Milwaukee or to itself?
The last 15 years, you know, certainly since the late 1900s. My wife competed in, I think, three of the triathlons held at the Recplex, the Lakeview, just north of the Illinois state line in Kenosha. It is called the Chicagoland Triathlon. So it's the simple physical growth of Chicago from Cook County through Lake County, and in a sense absorbing, almost culturally annexing, Kenosha County. In the same way that for generations Lake Geneva has been Chicago's playground more than it has been Milwaukee's, Racine's, or Kenosha's playground, because it was its proximity. And as the area grew, it would tend to cast a long shadow and then basically to absorb, you know, the area and the southern part of our state.
We talked about how Kenosha has kind of hitched its wagon to Chicago's star. Why hasn't Racine either tried or been successful in attaching itself more closely with Milwaukee?
I think two reasons, Mitch. One is that Racine had its own economy, everything from grain elevators in the wheat era to manufacturing later on, Johnson Wax, Modine Radiator, Western Publishing. So it had its own establishment. So people from Racine did not look north in the same way someone from Port Washington might have looked south, or someone from Waukesha might have looked east. The other, that's perhaps more interesting, is that the south side of Milwaukee was always the smaller of the sides of town because George Walker had a hard time getting started back in the 1830s. So whereas on Milwaukee's north side, settlement would go all the way to the Ozaukee County line, there are still farms in Franklin and Oak Creek going down to the Racine County line. So to this day, there is still a buffer zone of open land between central Racine and central Milwaukee. And that is year by year being transformed, but is still there and still has an influence on the geography of this region.
Has the economic transformation that we've heard a lot about, especially of southeastern Wisconsin, away from manufacturing, has it been harder on smaller cities?
I think so. You have cities like Kenosha, Racine, and Milwaukee as well. Milwaukee's economy has retains a great deal of diversity. But especially in Kenosha, where you have, it was not by any means a one-industry town, but Nash, later American Motors, certainly was the dominant employer in the entire area. And a little like Detroit, as the Big Three went, so the city and the metropolitan area of Detroit went, and you have all kinds of dislocations there that are mirrored on the small scale by some of the changes in Kenosha as well. So I think what's happened there is you have deindustrialization taking place. At the same time, you have kind of the also some manufacturing, but the service economy, kind of the Chicago influence heading north. Lakeview Corporate Park, you know, which is a We Energies development, right at the state line. So everyone from Snap-on Tools to their own power plant is providing jobs there. So yes, it has had a huge impact on that section south of us today.
As someone who has studied historical trends, how important do you think to the future of places like Kenosha and Racine is their ability to connect themselves to the larger metropolises of Chicago and Milwaukee?
Very important, and I think it will happen almost on its own. I think the KRM line, Kenosha, Racine, Milwaukee, currently in some trouble, you know, with the administration we have in Madison, that would be and perhaps will be a very strong both physical and economic connector between the Chicago market and Milwaukee. And every so often I'll take the Hiawatha down if I'm doing some research, something in Chicago, and it's busy. So that has become a real transportation link and also an economic link. And I think for a lot of people in the Chicago area, that's kind of a growing trend. And people have talked about Chicago incomes mixing with southeastern Wisconsin real estate prices. And I think as time goes on, Chicago becomes more congested, more difficult to move around. I think there will continue to be, you know, this move of Chicagoland workers up into Wisconsin. And for better or worse, I think it's simply the reality of what will transform this part of Wisconsin in the years ahead.
Well, let's hope our traffic doesn't get too much worse.
I agree.
John Gerda, thanks.
Thank you, Mitch.
John Gerda is the author of 19 books, including The Making of Milwaukee and Cream City Chronicles. He's also our regular history contributor. He joined us to talk about the history of Kenosha and Racine as part of our Project Milwaukee Southern Connection series. And Project Milwaukee continues after the break with a look at why Chicago might need Milwaukee more than we would think. This is Lake Effect from WUWM.